friend had me watch a new series on Netflix called Bling Empire. It's a reality TV show that focuses on the life of Asians and Asian American socialites in California. I'm not a huge fan of reality television, but the show had me hooked. Representation matters in music, in media, in movies, in television. So this is a very exciting thing for me to see, and I really had to talk about it. So I decided to bring on my friend, Richard Lupersong, to have a candid conversation regarding this television show. Spoilers, please watch the show before listening in on this podcast. This is De Facto. My name is Tony Kutt. Welcome to another episode of De Facto. My name is Tony Kutt. Today I have with me Richard Lupersong. Did I pronounce that correctly?
Yes, you did.
All right. I get so annoyed when people pronounce my name wrong. My name was Tony Kuth, and I allowed people for so long to just absorb that and never corrected them. And so now, like, part of owning my identity is also owning my last name. So now, yeah, Tony Kutt. But yeah, you asked me to watch the show Bling Empire, right?
Yes.
And I literally was like, no, I don't watch reality TV. I don't watch, what's that, Desperate Housewives. And I'm like, I ain't about to
Real Housewives.
Oh, the, yeah, Real Housewives. Did I get it wrong? See, I don't watch that stuff. Real Housewives. And I was just like, you know, I'm seeing the previews, and they're all like bougie and I'll have a lot of money. But then you kept talking me into it. I was like, okay, let's do this. So that's what we're going to talk about today. But before we do, just tell the world a little bit about yourself.
Well, I'm Richard Lupersong. I am a video editor and a graphics artist living in Los Angeles. I'm a part-time filmmaker as well. Both my parents are from Laos, so I'm Laotian American. I was born here, but my parents both traveled from Laos as refugees. They actually met when they came to America, so they weren't like together when they were in Laos. I'm actually a Minnesota native. I grew up in St. Charles, Minnesota, and I lived in Minneapolis for about 10 and 12 years, and I moved to LA to pursue my filmmaking career. And yeah, I work in advertising now, and it's been a strange year. I've only been in LA for a year. And they always say that LA, like living in LA, your first year is always the hardest. And I did not know it was going to be this hard. Yeah.
Wow. And especially with coronavirus.
You know, other states are like more open than LA and California in general. But, you know, I still see people going out and doing activities, not like, you know, dining out, but there's other things that you could do that are outdoor, like going to the beach and, you know, going hiking in the Hollywood Hills or stuff like that. The weather helps a lot with the situation, honestly.
That's good.
I don't think I could handle living in this situation in the Midwest.
Oh, come to Iowa. Everybody has their like butt chins with the diaper covering their chin.
Ew.
Noses exposed. Nobody's wearing masks. And then they're like, I don't know. It's a hot mess over here. I mean, let's just talk about the Bling Empire. Like, I am obsessed.
I told you, it's like so addictive. you can't get your eyes off of it.
So what drew you to the show? Do you watch those kind of shows?
No, actually, I'm not even a fan of reality TV. But when you're stuck in quarantine, some of those things that you watch on Netflix, you just need something to watch. I saw the preview for it, and I remember like my friend was like talking about it. He was like raving about it because he's very pro-Asian in media. Mm-hmm. And he shared about Bling Empire on Netflix. And I was like, okay, this is basically Crazy Rich Asians reality TV. And I never watched like Real Housewives or like the Kardashians. And what drew me into watching this show was just like, I don't know. I watched the first episode and then I was just drawn in. It was not what I expected it to be.
Right. I think for me, it was actual representation, even though they had like loads and buttloads of money.
Yes.
But they like had Buddhism, you know, there was Buddhism infused in the show, which I've like haven't really experienced watching TV. Cause usually, you know, you watch TV and it's like they're at a church or something, but these individuals are just like practicing Buddhism and like bringing in fortune tellers and psychics. So my family owned a salon, and I just feel like, and I'm atheist, by the way, but you know, raised Devada Buddhist. But I always feel like when we ran the business, it was all of those like juju people. I call them juju people. they're attracted to you because they know you have money and they're like coming for, you know, doing all these blessings and readings and all this stuff for like, you know, I'll do it for $50. You know, and so when I saw that, I was like, oh my gosh, that's real stuff. Cause that, you know, my family is super religious. They have a lady, I think she lives in Texas, that does psychic readings over the phone, and she does all those spiritual things over the phone. And just seeing that, I related it to it so hard. Cause I was like, that's part of my life right there.
I know. And that was another thing that had me watching was, you don't often see Asian people in reality TV. You know, we have like the Kardashians and stuff, but like Asians in general in Hollywood, they struggle to get representation.
Yeah.
And I think that's important. And like there's more depth to that show than people think, because it does give you culture.
Right.
And it's not just the rich Asians, but you also got the basic Asians who live with these rich Asians. Kevin, the main guy, or one of the cast members, he's just a model in LA. And then he became friends with, you know, one of the other guys who's actually like rich. And it was interesting to see.
But another, I got my husband to watch it too, because we do have a friend who's kind of well off, and he reminded me of one of the castmates, Anna Shea. And then we had another friend that was kind of like Christine, always like that. I don't know,
name dropper.
And I'm just watching that unfold, and you know, I see my friend just like, you know, I got money, but I ain't about like dropping these names. She bought anything and everything, I felt like all those brand name expensive jewelries and such.
Yeah.
But she never really like said, hey, this is what I bought, or hey, this is Cartier, or hey, this is Gucci. She just bought it and just enjoyed the item. So I saw that. I saw how she valued her money, but she didn't have to like send those, that look what I have energy out there. I don't even know, these like names.
Yeah. Yeah. Anna is my favorite character on that show. She's just so humble and wise, but she can also have that petty side where like, if you mess with her, she'll get you back. It's great.
What was that quote she said when Andrew was like yelling? She's like,
ain't no dick is that good.
Yes. Ain't no dick that good. Yeah. I think that was the part where I said, I am hooked. right when she said that phrase, I was like, okay, I gotta watch this show. And that's also the point where I sent, because my husband was in Mexico at the time, and I was like, hey, you need to watch this show because we need to talk about this when you get back. But so Anna's your favorite character?
Yes. Was yours?
Okay, yes, that's my favorite character. But like, okay, if you were to pick one person and say that's who I relate to most, who would that be?
Low-key, I took a quiz on this on Facebook.
You did?
I got Kim Lee. And I agree, because she's like the wild, she's got that wild side, and she's stubborn.
Mm-hmm.
I'm stubborn. I also like resonate with her because of like, spoiler alert, you know, her, she found out about her dad, and like her dad died, passed away like 2 years ago. And that part like really hit me because, you know, I actually lost my dad last year.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah, it was hard. So like watching like the last two episodes, like it made me feel sympathy for her.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like when she found all that stuff out about her dad, knowing all that stuff, it like really changed her character a little bit.
Right. I felt that too. Yeah. My dad passed away, but like we didn't really have a relationship. But where I related to her was, like you said, her attitude. Because, okay, I thought that the entire cast was Chinese, like, you know, from China or like Chinese Americans. Mm-hmm. So as I was watching that, and then I find out that Kevin, like they really painted that picture that he's the outsider, which, you know, his Korean heritage. So they really played on that. But I thought that Kim Lee was Chinese too. But then, you know, when she found that penis pump and they were all calling her out.
Yeah.
And she started like responding. I was like, if that is not a Southeast Asian woman, I don't know what is. I was just like, that attitude that we all have. I was like, I have to Google this. And then it was like, oh, she's Vietnamese part French. And yeah, it's just like, yeah, that's those are my friends growing up.
Yeah, I low-key thought she was like a light-skinned Cambodian girl.
Because
like I know like Cambodian girls act like that.
Yeah. Like I said, if that's not Southeast Asian, I don't know what is.
You know who I'm talking about.
Yeah. I know who you're talking about. Yeah, but my favorite character, or the Anna's my favorite. But the one that I relate to is actually Kelly. Was that her name, Kelly? She was the one who was dating Andrew.
Yes, Kelly.
Okay. So as I was watching it, I said, because, you know, Andrew is just absolutely abusive. Just.
Yes.
And I was like, how is she going to be with him like that? But then I kept saying, you know what? If I was in her shoes, I would be a doormat too. Like, it was just. I was like, I know that about myself. So I was just like, okay.
Oh my God.
Judging Kelly, but that's me down to a T. So I'm thankful that I'm in a really great relationship. But like that, yeah, that's, I relate to Kelly.
Speaking of Andrew, probably the least favorite cast member on that show. And, you know, for all the reasons that you said, like he's an abusive person.
Mm-hmm.
He's a huge narcissist, and I'm mad that Kelly goes back with him.
Right. Like, okay. Again, I was like, how dare she? I would do the same thing. Like, I can't deny that that's my personality. And it's just, do you feel that there's like that dynamics of that relationship? Cause like, it's always like here, even here in Iowa, like the queer culture here, it's very white dominated, mm-hmm. and they always are very aggressive with like alpha male energy. And they always view Asian folks as like the submissive.
Yes.
Individuals. And I kind of got that vibe with that relationship. Just that.
I did too.
It's like submissive.
Yes, exactly.
I think I'm very feminine. And that's something that I experience myself, is that I'm like pushed to be submissive whenever I'm around male energy. And then I'm also expected to be that way. But then when I start talking, and when I'm like, no, I'm not like that. It's just that, like when I saw Andrew react, that was literally what I experienced on a daily with a lot of gay white men here. So it's just
really,
yeah, it's just, I don't get it. But then they also are like, had that expectation, we're queer. So like, I could be mean to you in any way. So a lot of them like call me a gook.
Ugh.
Yeah. And you know, like, and I started calling out privilege, and now like they dropped me from their group because apparently I'm not the kind of Asian that they want. But it was just so okay, long story short.
What does that even mean?
I don't know.
What Asian do they want?
They want us to be sexualized, fetishized flames, drag queens. Like, if you come to Iowa, most of the Asians that are like out and about are drag queens. They try to get me to become a drag queen, and I'm like, no, I'm not a drag queen. Sorry. But that resistance created that same behavior that Andrew like invoked onto her. I'm just like, when I saw that really triggered me. And I think that's why I felt really more attuned to Kelly, because like that was kind of the kind of abuse that I had to go through here. And it's like unique to this location, like Iowa, like, you know, because, you know, you have been queer in Minnesota and I've been to Florida. It's just like that aggression is just, I don't know. That's what I felt. Those were the vibes I got.
Yeah, totally. I feel like a lot of Asian women can relate to Kelly's position, because I feel like a lot of Asian women are dating white men who treat them like that, and they fall back into that.
Yeah, and so you.
Sorry, did I get into that?
Oh no, you do
to some deep topic.
No, nothing's too deep. This is real talk. But like, I know it's just. I see that happen to like a lot of my friends too. Just the dynamics of like the biracial relationships is just, we are always expected to be like Kelly. So that was just, I don't know. I felt that. And I was like, I feel you, girl. You go back to him. I don't support you, but I'm just like,
must be that good. I mean, aside from his douchey attitude, like, he is pretty hot.
Yeah. Well, okay. He's hot when he's shaved and he's hot with short hair.
Like, yes.
When he had long hair and he had like the little stubble going on.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was like, that's not doing anything for me. And then he's like shaved. And I'm like, oh, I could see it. And how lucky is she to have like two hot guys fight over her?
I mean, Kevin, oh my God. Don't even get me started on Kevin. What are your thoughts? You go first, because I'm gonna let you talk.
So I don't really have much experience with like Korean born individuals who were adopted by white families. I think that I had so much, I don't know if discrimination was the word, but like I always saw them as like, you know, we called them like whitewashed, and then we kind of wrote them off. I've never really gotten the opportunity to like sit down and, you know, chat with somebody who was adopted. So like it was just seeing his personality, and I'm like, oh, you got ugly duckling syndrome really bad. Like, just, he was super cute, super kind, and I don't know, it just like he opened up his world, his life for me to see. But there's also like the is he acting? I don't know if he was like super
because he's an actor
about it. Yeah. So it was just
actor,
like
actor model.
Right. So there was just, I don't know. I don't know what I feel about him, but it was just, he, you know, I appreciate him being on the show.
Same here. Well, I've had a lot of experience with Korean adopted people. Actually, I'm friends with some of them. And the thing about Kevin is that, like, you can tell that he doesn't come from an Asian family. And sometimes there's things that he does that remind me of like what white college frat boys do. And that is like really annoying to me. I appreciate that he's part of this show so that he can learn from other people's cultures, you know, and he's actually like trying to get to know his Korean side.
That in that office made me ugly cry. Like when he was like being hypnotized. So my family all came from Cambodia as a family unit. From what I am aware of, none of the kids died, but, you know, my mom kept a lot of stuff for me, so I don't know for sure. But I never knew my grandparents. I never knew my dad's side of the family. Like, they all were killed. So I kind of felt what he was feeling about, like, trying to find who you are, because he's Korean, but raised American. So like his culture was erased from him. And I felt that so hard with like the Khmer genocide, how they tried to erase our culture, that inner part of me that is trying to find myself attached to that really bad. And, you know, like watching him explore and try to push to find his family really has pushed me to find my roots. Mm-hmm. And so like, I'm trying harder now. I don't know if that sounds so cliche, but it's like, I need to know where I come from. Because that there's so much that's missing in my life.
Yeah. Yeah, I feel you too. As I get older, I feel like I need to get more in depth with my culture so that I can keep tradition. Because being American, we kind of forget that.
Right. I think like it's that like this didn't come out until the last couple of years, that need of cultural preservation is just... I've been so infused in the American culture for so long that I needed also to infuse the Southeast Asian side of me. I appreciate seeing that on TV. I appreciate being able to see Kevin, but like I said, he's an actor. So I don't know if he's acting all that, but it was like, I felt for that. So if he does get into movies, he'd be really good at it.
I really didn't like that, like, he wanted to investigate Kim's dad for her.
That was intrusive.
And I was like, even, what if he was alive still? Like, her attitude would have been different.
Mm-hmm.
She would have been like, why did you try to look for my dad for me? I didn't tell you to do that. You know, when I
That was, yeah, I thought that was very, very rude. But I'm glad that he brought Kane along. What are your thoughts on Kane?
You know, I don't have a problem with Kane. I don't dislike him, but I feel like certain things about him can be problematic, especially in gay culture, just because he kind of gives the gay stereotype of Asians. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Sorry, Kane. I hope I don't run into you. But right. Give me some of your Dolce clothes.
Right. Did you see all the shes?
Yes, so that wall of shoes. Oh my God.
Yeah. So when the show started, I saw him. I thought the same thing. So problematic. But the redeeming feature of him was his Buddhism. He was such a sweet and caring person. Mm-hmm. And that really infused with his religion. It was just... like he, what's her name? Sherry? Like,
yeah.
Sherry, like when he was like helping her cope with the loss of her mother through like mm-hmm. those Buddhist principles. I was so touched by that. And I was like, I would totally be his friend.
Yeah. The thing is like Kane can be problematic, but like there's probably a lot of that in all of us, right. Gay, queer Asians. But what I saw in that show, like he does have a sensitive side and he is a very caring, loyal friend.
Sherry? Am I saying her name right?
Yeah, I think Sherry. So.
But I think their brand of Buddhism is that you get reincarnated always as a family member. You're always recycling your soul through their family. And we don't have mental health really in my culture. And we don't really talk about any of that. But and we always explain everything through like spiritual ancestors attacking you or mm-hmm. something like revolving around spirit. And when I was watching that, like I've been explained to so many different ways who I reincarnated from. So it's just like, I mean, like I said, like the representation was totally there. And when they capture that, mm-hmm. I finally got to see something like that on TV. So that was just very humbling to see.
Yeah, it was very interesting. I didn't know that they believe that someone gets reincarnated into someone as a family member.
So what about Christine?
Christina, well, we kind of touched base on her a little bit. I feel bad for her throughout the show. Like, you know, she struggled with the whole birth thing and trying to give a child for her in-laws. and she had that pressure. So I can see that being relatable to a lot of Asian women being pressured to have grandchildren and not being able to provide that.
Right.
And then like her husband too.
I don't know if he pressured her into lying to the family or she chose to like lie about his infertility. I just thought to myself, like, how dare he? I don't know. I was trying to process that when she said that she had to say that she was the infertile one when it was more dad.
But that's like Asian masculinity.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah. Does your culture have that like patriarchal system where like
men are above women.
Yeah. Women have to like clean the house, wash the dishes, make the babies, and men get to do whatever the hell that he wants.
Yes.
You have that. That was what I was thinking about when I saw that, where she was just being like used in that way. And then I just felt like she accepted that role when she married into that family. They're my least favorite people in the show, to be honest. So like every time I hear them talk, I'm like, I don't really care. I'm gonna check my emails really quick.
No, I can see that. Yeah. I mean, there weren't the most interesting characters. And Christina, you know, or Christine with her name dropping, like I was like, whatever. I thought it was really funny that she had to be like wearing the necklace and be like, so I'll wear my necklace and like, you know. And then you'll wear the necklace and let me know, whatever that shit was.
Right. But I also feel like, what if she didn't really have any friends growing up and she didn't really know how to have friendships without those material things? I don't know. I don't know. Everything about her, I just could not stand. And I just couldn't connect with her at all.
Right.
At all. So, you know, each character, like I found some sort of connection, but with her, I'm like, I can't with you. So you did watch that thing on YouTube?
Yes.
Because they had like a, where are they now?
Yeah.
You did. I got bits and pieces of it, but are they still together, Kelly and Andrew?
Yeah, there's a full article about it, actually.
There's a full article about it.
I can forward it to you.
Okay. Well, yeah. And then Kane was on the Ellen show. And
oh, he was?
He was. And apparently, like, I don't know, like they were talking about budgeting or whatever. And he had to move into like a smaller apartment. So like you just see all of the shoes on the wall, like his whole background was shoes. And I think Ellen was really judgy about their relationship too. He was like, is Andrew and Kelly still together?
And so yeah. she wanted Kane to drop the tea.
She was trying to drop the tea and Kane was like, yeah, we just hung out. They're still together.
But they still live in different apartments. So
yeah.
I feel like maybe it was like written that way. They like wanted us to believe that they were going to split up, but the producers already knew that they were going to be back together.
Right.
Because of, you know, Kelly's trend of on and off with Andrew.
Right. I hope my only thing like for season two, if they do another season is, I don't know. I don't watch reality TV, but like there was that scene with Christine and her husband talking about like having another baby and like people were doing her makeup and then like they disappeared and then they're doing their makeup again. It was just like they were like editing and cutting the footage. It just didn't look authentic to me. I don't know. You had to watch that again.
See, when you said you don't care about those two characters, I don't think I paid attention to any of that. I didn't even remember her being on that YouTube video.
Oh, yeah. No, she was. She was on that YouTube video because she did not like how she was portrayed.
Oh,
she
yeah.
She said that I'm a nicer person or like I'm more fun. And hopefully when season two comes out, we're going to like you're going to see another side of me.
Sure.
No, we're not.
I rolled my eyes.
We're not. We are not going to see another side of you, Christine. That is who you are. Accept that.
Yeah. Going back to Kevin, though, I didn't like that he tried to intervene with Kelly. Like Kelly's breakup with Andrew. And then he like wanted to ask her out on a date, or he took her out and like, it's like, you don't do that after someone just broke up.
Yeah.
And the whole time he was like trying to get with Kelly. And from the start, I was like, no, it's not going to work. Sorry. She don't want him.
Yeah. It was too soon.
It was
too soon. See, I grew up very, very poor. Family's on welfare. Mm-hmm. And I didn't, you know, like I experienced hunger more than I felt full. So like, I don't know like where I'm at now. I'm secure like financially. And I enjoyed the show for what it was. But I was watching or reading articles about how inappropriate it was for the show to come out during the coronavirus. Yeah, that's, I don't know, when I was reading that article, just like trying to bring out that inner child that experienced poverty, like if I were to watch this show, would I have been hurt in any way? And I couldn't answer that with a yes or no, because I don't know, like, you know, as a kid, I never really got to see me on TV or someone to look like me on TV. So I think like I would have been very excited to watch this show as a kid.
Yeah, you know? I agree. Yeah.
Like we had Will and Grace. I don't know how old you are, but like
Will and Grace?
Yeah. That's what I had for
queer identity.
Like queer. It was just, that was all I had. So, you know, even though the Kane and I can't remember his name, whatever Guy. His name was, Guy, even though that they were queer and very damaging, at least I got to see like the Asian queer, like something that may have helped me come to terms with like my identity sooner.
Yeah.
Cause you know, I mean, I'm not sure about you, but all I had to work with was white queers and like, I could not identify.
Yeah, totally. I get what you're saying. And you know, not just Asian representation, but gay Asian, queer Asians,
right,
need to be represented in media, right. Hollywood, you know, mm-hmm. TV, it doesn't matter. And we have to push for that.
Yeah, it's, I mean, even this podcast, the reason I started this podcast, because I mean, I literally was like trying to find someone like me to talk about like these types of issues. And I found nothing. Like for my podcast, it was always like genocide. That's all we're going to talk about. I mean, you know, my first three episodes, I'm talking about like the you know, Khmer diaspora, but like, mm-hmm. I wanted to like touch base too on like sexuality and mental health and just being a first generation refugee. I don't see that right now. Like we always talk about Angelina Jolie made that movie on Netflix. First they killed my father. And it's like, is that how we're going to be represented just moving forward? So I really thought Bling Empire gave that representation, but not from like a dark and deep place where it was just like fun and, you know, they do whatever they gonna do, but it wasn't like.
Yeah, totally. I think like it's a start, and you know, I think what Bling Empire does is great regardless, just showing representation in Asian and including culture and diversity. But you know, eventually there's going to be more shows kind of like Fresh Off the Boat, you know, there's going to be more representations of everyone's story.
As a creative individual that's in the movie industry, if I don't know, like maybe three things that you would like to see for the Asian advancement in media. Are there any areas that you would like to see that growth?
You know, what I really want is to see Asian talent thrive in Hollywood. Mm-hmm. I also want to see queer POC, people of color, in Hollywood thriving as well. And I want to see just Asian people who want to do creative things go after what they want to do.
Right. And I think we're doing that. So we're gonna carve our way and just
Yeah,
make sure that we are here. We are here. We're queer. We're and Asian.
Exactly.
Get used to it. Well, I hope to bring you back on. I think we should start like following like media and just
definitely,
you know, have those conversations in the future. I mean, if you'll have me, we'll make some time.
Thank you so much for having me too.
Yeah.
It was it's been really fun. I've never done a podcast. Well, I have, just not a long time. And this is like really refreshing,
right?
Especially to start off the new year.
Oh, thanks. Thank you for, you know, just being you. And, you know, I've never done this before, so this is still new territory for me, but, you know, it'll get a lot better very right. soon, I promise. Thank you so much for spending your time with me today. Please go to defactotk.com. Again, it's defactotk.com. That's defactotk.com. My voices are rarely heard in the political arena. I thank you for dedicating time to learn and grow with me. Please help me grow by sharing this site with your family and friends. Please also like, subscribe, and share my podcast if you find this interesting. I appreciate it. You have a great day.